Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Fitzdog Radio. It's the calm before the storm, or it is in real time. I'm recording this on Monday, the 4th of November. It's the evening. I have a couple of shitty lights on, so I look kind of yellow and red, which is ominous and haunting, which it should be right now, because at this time tomorrow, the states will be declaring winners, or at least tentative winners. Do I think it'll go smoothly? No. Do I think that there will be violence? Yes. Will I vote? Yes. Will I tell you who I'm voting for? No. Will it be Trump? No. Am I endorsing anybody? Absolutely not. Kyle McGovern for New York State Supreme Court, my buddy. What are we doing, people? What's happening right now in real time as you hear this on Wednesday, the 6th of November? Is there anything close to a front runner or a winner? I don't know. I'm time traveling right now. I'm wondering. I'm hoping for the best. I just think this country can't be any more angry and confused. And I'm hoping thing. I mean, I don't know. What the hell do I know? I'm just a guy who's, living in his eco bubble like everybody. Eco bubble? Echo chamber? Echo bubble? Whatever we live in. We're all in them. I'm trying to chill out. I've been trying to breathe. I've been trying to meditate. I went to yoga class on Sunday, and there was a lot of messages from the yoga instructor, that you have to be present and be thankful for where you are at this moment. And I took it in, and I felt on a molecular level, I felt change. There's times when yoga is a meditation that is combined with a physical restorative process. And there are moments where you really do feel transcendent, and that there is something in your consciousness that improves. And I felt really good. It was the first time I'd felt really good. And then I was driving home, and this guy merged and wasn't letting me in. And so I just went right ahead. And then he got pissed, and pickup truck alert. They're out there, the big pickup trucks with the four wheels in the back. And there's never any equipment back there. It's just a statement. And the guy's riding my fucking tail, and I get to a yellow light that I could easily make it through, and I slow down, and I clip it, so I just slide into the turn as it's turning red, and this motherfucker stopped, and he honked, and I smiled, and I said, yes, this is the transcendent moment. This is time and space coming together with my spirit and my sense of being a better person. That is the person. That is the better person. My best person is a little vindictive who puts justice in the universe. I am the equalizer. I am Irish. I will go out and I will stand up to the shitheads and the miscreants and the ne'er-do-wells and the grifters. I am a force of righteousness, even if it means slowing down at a yellow light. If that's the extent that I can make wrongs right, I will do it. Felt good. What else? I don't want to talk about the election. I really feel like if you're listening to this podcast, it's because you want a fucking break. And you're probably not listening to this podcast. I would imagine all the political podcasts are getting all the traction this week. And the meandering middle-aged white guys podcasts are probably going to be a little light. Maybe. Had a nice Halloween over the weekend. That was fun. We had people over and we did something fun. We put up a red velvet rope on two stands. And my wife and I wore tuxedos. And we waited for kids to come up. And we had walkie-talkies. And as the little kids came up in their costumes, we had the candy on the stoop. But we were by the front door where you enter the yard. And the kids had to come up. We looked at them. We talked into the walkie-talkie. And then we would take the velvet rope down and let them get through. Take the candy, leave. Put the velvet rope back up again. Check the next kid. Did it to each kid all night. Is that true? No. But that's what I want to do next year. I think that's the best idea I've ever had for Halloween because we're no longer trick-or-treaters. We are treaters. We simply treat the tricksters. We don't benefit. We just provide. And so why not get something out of it? I think that'll be fun. My friend Matt Malloy has a tradition where he has a speaker and a microphone on his front yard. And when the kids show up, they are told that they will be given a piece of candy just for showing up, just for putting on a costume and walking up the step. But if they would like a second piece, they have to earn it, which sounds creepy, but hear me out. You either have to sing or you have to tell a joke. And you got to see these kids. They get nervous. Some of them get nervous and shy. Some of them grab the fucking mic and they belt out something from The Little Mermaid or Wicked. And some kids tell funny jokes. Here was my favorite joke from last year. Kid goes, what do you call a fish with no eyes? I said, I don't know. What do you call a fish with no eyes? He goes, fish. And I said, can you open for me at the Green Bay Funny Bone in Wisconsin next week? Anyway, somebody was telling me, I live in Venice, which is the best trick-or-treating. Everybody shows up. There's a lot of set designers that have like, what do you call that stuff? Smog machines. Fog machine, not smog. We got enough smog. We don't need machines for it. Fog machines, you know, like dry ice. And there's like zip lines with ghouls flying out of the sky. And there's noise machines. And there's people dressed as characters that spring up from the garden when you walk by. It's fun. Kids come from all over to come to Venice. There's a lot of walk streets where there's a house on either side of the sidewalk. And it's really fun. And so, so I was walking down the street during the day and somebody showed me there's this new place that's got, cold plunges, three different temperatures of cold plunge ranging from like 45 to 57 degrees. And then there's also a dry sauna and you go in there for 90 minutes and you go back and forth and it's $30 and I'm going on Sunday. The other thing somebody told me about is there is a place you go and you can get out your anger. You destroy things. You show up and I guess they like give you a hammer and there's wood and you break the wood with the hammer and you get to yell. It's scream therapy mixed with violence, and you can smash things and you wear goggles. And I just thought, here we go in the west side of LA, yet another thing that upper middle class white people do to mimic having an actual job. You could literally just work construction. You could just go to a construction site. They'll give you some fucking goggles and a hammer, and there's a lot of yelling. Hey, get off your ass, Fitzsimmons. Your 10 is over. Grab a fucking hammer. And you can yell back. And that's your therapy. And you don't have to spend $200 an hour for it. These are the same people that take take an elevator instead of the stairs to get to their second floor luxury gym where they get on a fucking Stairmaster. These are the people that want to look like they're outdoorsy, so they put on a tanning cream. These are the people that go to high-end vintage stores. It's not a thrift store. It's a vintage store, and they buy work boots. What do they call them? Red Wings? They buy some Red Wings with the steel showing through the material on the toes of the boot. They got oil stains on them. Somebody actually wore them to a job for a couple years. Somebody who really worked. And these fucking hipsters buy the boots, and then they buy a trucker cap that's already worn in and dirty, and they put that on. Also, they can look like they had a fucking job at some point. These are people that they take fucking testosterone shots so they can seem manly. Jesus. What's my point? I don't know. Am I any different? I would take testosterone if you gave it to me. Fuck yeah. Heard a guy, I was at the Blue Bottle coffee shop today spending $6 with tip for a cup of coffee that they were perplexed. I walked up to the counter and I said, what would you like? No, what can I get started for you? What do you mean get started? Is this a home? Do you need to pour a foundation and then frame it? No, you don't have to get started. Just get me a cup of coffee. Well, what do you mean a cup of coffee? Just a cup of coffee. You mean like a, I'm not making this up, like an Americana or a pour over? I go, I don't know what that means. I go, just a cup of coffee, please. And he said, well, do you want a dark roast or a medium roast? I go, I have no idea. I go, it's up to you. Whatever's brewed, but it's not brewed. They have to ground the beans, put them in a filter that they put in this glass beaker that looks like it's out of Mr. Solomon's chemistry class that I took in 10th grade. And then they pour boiling water over it, but they do it in a circle. They pour it circularly over the grounds. And then he asked me what I want in it, and I said, I'll take cream, half and half, whatever. He goes, well, we have a whole, we have 2%, we have cream, we have soy, we have... I go, whatever's on the fucking counter. And again, I don't want to seem like the guy with the worn-in Red Wings and the trucker cap. But I really am that guy. I don't give a fuck about the coffee. I'll drink it at a gas station as easily as I'll drink a $6 cup at a blue... Oh, shit, I'm late. I got to run. Okay, my guest today, you know him from Human Giant, Children's Hospital, The League, Transparent. How about Arrested Development? How about 30 Rock? How about The Office? How about Modern Family? This guy is one of my favorite guests of all time. He's a legend. I know you're going to love this talk I just had with him. Say hello to Rob Hubel. Oh, I fucked up. I didn't put in my dates. Can you slide this in before I introduce Rob Hubel? Thank you. Where are my dates? All right, I'll just say this. Coming to Philadelphia this weekend, Helium Comedy Club. Come on out Thursday through Saturday. It will probably sell out. Get your tickets in advance. And then I will be coming next weekend to, where am I? Tacoma and Eugene, Oregon. Tempe coming up. San Francisco, Cleveland. Go to fitzdog.com. Get some tickets. Do it. Trick or treat. It's the Halloween show, the first annual Halloween show on Fitzdog Radio. My guest, bass player for ZZ Top, Elmore Raymond.
Is that his name?
Nope, just made it up.
Oh, yeah, I think it's something ZZ Top. Isn't that their last name?
No, it's not.
No, I don't know what they're like. Gibbons. They're the Gibbons.
I think they are the Gibbons.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
and, but your mouth looks a little like Planet of the Apes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a great... Hi, I'm Rob Hubel. I'm not really in ZZ Top.
Damn you.
I got you guys.
There goes the first annual Halloween show.
Man, this is the first annual? This is going to be... This should just be the format. It should be all Halloween talk every episode.
I think so. I think everybody's got great Halloween stories from their childhoods.
Oh, yeah.
Of like... You know, because there was different kind of misadventure in every town. You're from Virginia.
I'm from Virginia. Yeah, we used to go. We used to go hard. I mean, we would trick or treat. You know, a lot and get into all kinds of mischief. And I came from a
when you say a lot, did you go plastic bag?
No, dude.
Jug.
Pillowcase.
Pillowcase.
Pillowcase. Stick your head in there. Get it in there. Breathe in the mixture of sweet tarts and chocolate and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we would stay out late and get, you know, as much candy as possible. The kids now, like my daughter has like a little plastic pumpkin.
Yep.
I'm like, honey.
That's what my kids got.
Like, come on. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like you're cheating yourself.
We'd go pillowcase. And if there was a. If there was a house that was giving out full-size candy, which is always a couple,
oh, yeah.
You double back a couple times.
For sure you double back. Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad and mom used to really get into it, so that was really fun for us. Like, they would, like, do the whole house up and make it spooky, and then they would put on costumes and hand out candy. And my dad one year did this thing, which I loved. He was an old fighter pilot.
He really?
Yeah. So he sat on the front porch. He set up a table like this with a big tray of candy with a sign that said, you know, like honor system, take one piece and one piece only. But then he sat outside under a sheet with his flight helmet on with a visor down. So, you know, it looked like a motorcycle helmet, and he would just be real still. And then some fucking teenagers, you know, would come along and he'd be like, ah, like, just scare him. Like,
you mean if they took more than one?
He was relentless. He would get the little kids. He would get the parents.
Yeah,
would,
yeah.
Because everyone's like, it's dark. They're like, who's this weird guy? Is that a dummy? That's a dummy,
right.
You know.
Right.
It was so fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, my neighbor, Matt Malloy. Do you know Matt Malloy? He's an actor.
I think I do.
He did something with you. I'm trying to remember what show he did with you. But you guys were in a show together.
Okay.
Anyway, ball guy, character actor, super fun guy.
Okay.
One of my best friends. And we live in Venice on the walk streets. You know, there's like a sidewalk with houses on either side. And
yeah.
So it's like, and there's a grid of them that go on for like a mile.
Yeah.
And so kids come from all over LA.
Yeah.
And it's also like set designers who have,
cool props and
the dry ice, got zip lines with ghosts coming down.
Yeah.
And there's one guy that's got like a coffin and he's got a chainsaw and he's got a woman that lays in it. And every year he sacrifices a different, it really does look real. Blood spurts out.
Oh my God.
It was like Trump getting shot in the ear. Like, it's like, that's not real.
That's not real. That can't be real.
So kids come from all over. And so his yard, he's got a speaker set up and a microphone.
Uh-huh.
And if the kids want one piece of candy, they can take one piece of candy. If they want a second piece of candy, they have to take the mic and sing or tell a joke.
That's great.
One or the other.
That's great.
And it is, and a crowd forms because like all these kids they all want to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my favorite one last year was, we're off of the glasses. Enough.
I had to break character. To...
Yeah.
Also, I just like seeing you like this.
I know. It is weird when you are having a conversation with somebody with mirrored sunglasses on. You don't trust them.
Yeah.
I was looking at your tits the whole time.
I couldn't tell. I kept looking at your eyes. I was like, is he looking at my tits? No, I'm good.
So my favorite one last year was a kid came up and he goes, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
Oh, that took me a second. That's
it
a good one.
It should.
That's a good one.
When a six-year-old makes you take a second,
I mean,
that's three pieces of candy.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, you got to give it up for that kid. Yeah, man, trick-or-treating in L.A. is the best because I think because so many people are in the business, and
yeah.
they go all out.
Right.
You know, like you see these houses and you're like, what? Like there's a house near us. This guy has somehow, every year, he sets up all these dead rock stars on his roof, and they're all so it's all skeletons.
With, uh-huh. No but, way.
Yeah, but, he says, but there's like 10 of them, and they move and they sing. So he's got like
actual rock stars,
or just it's not. He didn't
just
actually
generic
exhume.
Rock stars.
No, no, it's like Kurt Cobain, Jerry Garcia, Roy Orbison, Tina Turner, Prince.
No way.
Ray Charles.
Tina Turner's dead.
I have terrible news for you. Yes.
Yeah.
Amy Winehouse. And so, and you know, so it, every year he puts them up there and he rigs them up. And so they move. And I'm like, what does this guy do?
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
like there's another guy near us who puts on a haunted house in his like front yard. He has like a corn maze.
Uh-huh.
He gets corn stalks and sets up a spooky maze for kids. And then it goes around his house, like it goes through the garage and the carport and the backyard. And it's like a legit, this is just a guy.
Yeah.
And it's just doing this to scare the shit out of kids, which I think is so fun.
Then you find out years from now that he was a
yeah.
pedo. And you're
yeah.
like, I don't, we didn't,
or he was
didn't
a real
see
murderer.
Anything unusual
yeah, yeah,
about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's also like such a fire hazard to have all these dry corn stalks. The guy has like a field
yeah,
of dry
yeah,
corn
right.
in his yard, and all these teenagers are smoking. I'm like, all right, man, this
right,
is going to not
right.
end well.
Let me put this mic a little closer to your mouth.
Yeah, put it right by my beard.
Pull it right up by the beard.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a guy in my old neighborhood who used to, he had a whole facade in front of his house that he built.
Yeah.
And
just for Halloween?
Just for Halloween. But, you know, he puts it like a month early. And then you go through it, and then he has rooms in his house that are different haunts. But you actually go in the house
I would
and
not
walk
want
through
that.
It.
Why would you want people?
Line of people up the block every year. It's like a big tourist attraction.
Yeah. We went to a maze the other night, and it was, I think, the best one I've ever been to. It was about an hour away. It was like way out in Thousand Oaks,
uh-huh.
which for people not in L.A., it's really far away. And it was in a mall, like, and it was like 45 minutes long. You know, like if you go to Universal, you go through one of those mazes and it's like, it takes like 5 minutes
yeah.
to go through one, you know, and there's a bunch of them, but it's still, and you have to wait forever. This one, we got like the front of the line pass or whatever. We had a group of like 20 people and it just kept going and going and going. And it was so good.
Wow.
It was so good. They had like, you know, the right balance of like, because you can't hire 1,000 kids to work in there. So the right mix of like some animatronic stuff that's attached to like a air hose that's going crazy. But like, you know, stuff that I hadn't seen before, like a giant clown that like tries to swoop you, you know, and, but they got me good. It, you know, if you can get me like three times.
Yeah.
I'm that's worth the money for
oh,
me. Like
totally.
Really get me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like screaming, you know.
Right.
Like, oh fuck.
Right.
You know, and they surprise me like three times. You know, usually like I'm the first one in our group, so I go in and I'm like looking around and I'm like, okay, that's a dummy.
Yeah.
That's a fake you know, person getting beheaded or you know, whatever. And then you're like, well, who's the real thing? And then that, you know, it comes out of like a closet and it gets the third person in line, so it misses me a lot. But so this one, they got me a lot. They even had holes in the ceiling where people would grab you from this, not grab you, but they would reach down from the ceiling.
Oh, you know,
like
wow.
Like right when you were walking by.
That's
so that
amazing.
Was yeah, there were some.
And then your daughter really is what, like eight?
My daughter's eight. She didn't go to it because that would scar her for life.
Yeah, yeah.
This one was too intense for a little
right,
bit.
Right.
I saw some little kids there.
I just think that's so funny. Like,
oh, man.
You can hire a babysitter and leave your daughter
totally.
Home alone
oh, totally.
During Halloween so
oh,
you
totally.
Can go.
I lost money on the deal for sure. Paid a babysitter $100 and, you know. But
what's she dressing as this year?
My daughter is going to be a pirate. And so we all have to do, we're still in the mode of like, we all have to be the same thing, you know.
Okay.
Like, so yeah, she's going to be a pirate. We're all going to be pirates, my wife and I. I'm going to use this beard and be like a ZZ Top pirate, I think.
It is funny when you think about some of the characters that we dress as. Like a pirate, they're literally murdering rapists.
Let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate them throughout history. Throughout, let's keep that. And by the way, they're not really pirates anymore, but let's keep the
no,
thought
there
of them
are. Like, the Somalians.
I guess.
But the
Tom Hanks movie, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, now those cargo ships have kind of caught on, and now they have these fire hoses. And they,
oh,
these
is that
little,
what they do?
Yeah, these little, like, you know, pontoons pull up next to a pretty big freight boat,
yeah.
Freight ship. And they just, it's like the civil rights riots. They're just blowing
just
them out of their boats.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
laughing.
It's just a game.
It's a game.
It's just
it's
pirate,
a video
pirate
game.
Hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy the stuff that people dress up as. You're right, though. Like, you'll see stuff and you're like, wait, why? Why? You know, and the stuff that's also creepy, like any sort of like nun or priest or anything like that is like instantly. Like in the haunted house thing the other night, one of the rooms you went into, it was like a small church, like
yeah.
a chapel. It was super dark and creepy, and you walk into this church, and there were sheets over everybody in the congregation. So you walk into the back of the church. There's all these church pews, and people sitting in the seats, and they all have a white sheet over them,
yeah.
which is really scary. And you're like, okay. Which of these is a real guy that's going to try to grab me or whatever? So I'm looking around. Don't see him. Like, who's the scary guy? All of a sudden, it's Jesus on the cross. Jumps down off the cross. Hey, what the fuck, man? You know, tries to attack you. And I was like, that's not who I was expecting. Like, you got me.
I was expecting to like sit yeah. next to the priest, then he puts
yeah.
his hand on my leg,
yeah.
and they're like,
or a nun is going to try to beat me or something.
Yeah,
you know, no, it was the Lord
good.
Himself.
That's
yeah.
good. I like that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, when we used trick or treat, we were pillowcase people for sure.
Yeah,
and it was, you know,
did you go with a group? Like, do you have brothers and stuff? And
well, yeah, my brother yeah. and my sister was a little younger, but then when we got older,
yeah,
but. Gang of guys, 100% of us dressed as bums. Like, that was a homeless
that was
person.
Fine.
Like,
that was fine. Isn't it crazy?
You don't see people dressing as homeless people anymore.
A hobo.
Hobo,
that's what
like,
we used to call
like
it, a hobo.
We'd get
yeah.
like an old beat up, like,
yeah.
you know, blazer.
Yeah.
And, you know, ripped up shoes and dirty clothes. And we put dirt on our
dirt
faces.
Dirt on your face. Yep.
Yeah.
And you'd go out as like a homeless person. And your parents would be proud of that.
Yes.
They'd be like, great job. Just an adorable little hobo, a little bum that can't get a job.
Oh
it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Now make sure you play schizophrenic tonight, kids.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, really own it. Show causality.
Yeah, when I was little, I have two brothers, and we loved the band Kiss when we were, you know, at a certain age, you know,
yeah.
like 10 years old.
Okay.
We just thought
10
that was
to 10 and a half, I hope.
I don't still love Kiss,
okay.
if that's what you're asking. But, you know, at that age, like, I hadn't seen that before. I hadn't seen, like, guys in makeup
yeah.
with, like, spitting blood and Gene Simmons doing his tongue and breathing fire. Like, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know? And so me and my brothers went as Kiss one year and, you know, did our own makeup, which is not easy to do when you're a kid. And so everywhere we went, ding dong, oh, a bunch of clowns. We're like, we're not clowns, we're Kiss, you know? And they'd be like, oh, look at these adorable clowns. We're not fucking clowns, lady. Kiss, what's Kiss? It's a rock band, you know?
That's great.
It was just...
Yeah, I think the kids that like Kiss are the ones that later like WWE. Were you a
yes.
WWE guy as well?
I wasn't really, but I could see how that is that's an easy off ramp.
Yeah.
You can see that's a direct pipeline straight to the WWE.
Yeah. Did you see that documentary about Vince McMahon?
I haven't watched it on Netflix.
It's a docuseries.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally, you know, obviously I knew Hulk Hogan and, you
yeah.
know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then going back to like yeah. Captain Lou Albano. Like, I know the big
These
ones.
These are all Trump supporters. Stone Cold, Hulk,
I
McMahon.
Was going to say in yeah. my progression,
oh,
I
yeah.
was going to say MAGA
yeah,
after
yeah.
WWE, but
yeah.
I try to keep politics off
sure,
the show.
Sure, sure, sure. So you watch a documentary, and what did you learn that surprised you?
That his family was so involved. Like, I knew that there was a daughter that took over at one point.
Yeah.
But that Vince was actually a character. Like, he was a wrestler. And yeah. he didn't start off as one. His father started the original kind of, this before it was, you know, national.
Yeah.
It was regional.
And they would travel around,
they would travel in their region. Yeah. And his father made it bigger, but then Vince was the one who really got it on national TV.
Yeah.
And started creating superstars and selling out, you know, 15,000 seat arenas.
Yeah.
But that he became a character in it where he was the tough business owner.
Yeah.
And it was very, like, hazy between who he was as a person and who his character was.
Yeah, I always thought it was the same guy.
He was a bad guy. Yeah. He is. He's still alive. Yeah. He's a bad guy.
He's a terrible, terrible dude.
Yes. Yeah. And so he would involve his son, and he would get into fights with his son, and he would body slam his own son, throw him out of the ring.
His real son
cut with razors to create blood. They all would cut themselves with razors. Then his daughter comes in, and he starts, like, you know, making his daughter date other professional wrestlers, and then fighting that wrestler. There was, like, incest hinted at. It was crazy.
In the storylines of the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Not in real life.
No, I don't know. I don't know about incest. He was a victim of incest in real life.
McMahon was?
Yes.
Wow.
And they hinted that it was his mother.
Oh, my God.
You don't hear that a lot.
That's really rare.
Yeah, that's like a left-handed knuckleballer.
Us discussing this, me looking at you with that wig on and you looking at me with this beard, talking about Vince McMahon being molested by his mother is either a new high in podcasting or a new low.
Yeah, I gotta go high on this one.
You don't hear a lot about, I think that just doesn't happen very much. Like, what mom is going to be like, oh, now I'm going to molest my son, you know?
Well, there was a really great movie called The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I'm aware of it.
Yeah. That involved mother, son, or it might have been aunt, nephew.
Did it really?
Molestation.
I thought that was like a like teen drama about, like, I mean, I never watched it. I just thought, like, oh, this is like a sweet story about a coming of age teenager and his girlfriend or something.
Well, it was angsty. It was like a high angst John Hughes movie. But then at the end, I ruined the end for people. I apologize, but
I don't
it's
think
been out for
listening
20
to
years.
This is going to be pissed. Yeah.
Yeah, but the end really hits you hard, and then the final scene is David Bowie singing "Heroes," which is one of those songs that for me is just. You ever have songs that if they come on the radio, if it's not at the very beginning, you change the channel because you're like, no.
Yeah, I got to hear from the beginning.
Got to get in step with it right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I also never want to wear a song that means that much to me. I don't want to wear it out.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got X number of plays before it becomes like a Yes song.
Just background. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
what's the song that you treasure that you don't want to wear out for yourself because it means something every time you hear it?
Oh, man. Great question.
It's a great question. It's right here.
Write that down. You didn't write that down.
No, I didn't write it down.
You do have a lot of questions. A
lot of
there.
Good questions.
That's really scary. A song to me that means so much. I don't know if I'm going to be able to come up with that. You know what? My older brother used to listen to a lot of Rush when I was growing up. And his room was right next to mine. So I sort of absorbed a ton of Rush and Van Halen.
Yeah.
And now it's...
Those are the bands that make it through the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now what's crazy is I live on the same street as David Lee Roth in Pasadena.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
Diamond Dave?
Yeah. When I bought the house, the broker was like, and that's David Lee Roth's house. And I've never seen him.
Was that a warning or a selling point?
By the way, you'll hear some explosions and pyrotechnics and
full disclosure, there's lead paint and David Lee Roth leaves down the street.
No, but it's just kind of cool that, like, and I live on, like, the poor side of the street. He lives in a giant house. And I don't think he's there.
I knew you were going to have to do a disclaimer about that. I knew
that
you couldn't just say.
I live in a fancy house.
Look,
like this.
You've done a lot. You earned a good house.
Well, my point is, I would have to say one of the songs that I like a go-to, if I'm at the gym and I really need to get, like, I would dig down deep into some Rush or some Van Halen probably.
No, I think that Van Halen, their first album was just insane. And I think You Really Got Me is on that first album, and it starts with that crazy.
And now that skeleton is on my other neighbor's house. The skeleton
of his brother?
Of Eddie Van Halen, no, is on.
Oh, yeah. Not his brother, but wow. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, well, that's at my neighbor's down the street who does the band on his house.
Right.
There's some songs like that that, I agree that you have to hear the whole song. You don't want to come in midway and go, oh, I'm just catching the tail end of that, you know?
Right. And there's some songs that really build. And like Hey Jude, if I turn on the radio and they're already doing Hey, I didn't get there with you. I need to take the trip to that.
It sounds like you listen to the radio a lot rather than choosing your own. You know that we live in a world where you can choose whatever music you want anytime you want and listen to it however many times you want. You don't have to drive around and hope that they're going to play a song that Greg likes. Like, oh, I hope they're going to play it today. You just put it on, you know, on your Spotify or whatever.
Well, I look at it like when I'm in my car, it's same thing with masturbation. Sure, I can watch a DVD of porn.
Sure.
In my car.
Okay.
Or on my phone. DVD. I can watch.
How'd this accident happen, son? Well, officer, I was watching a DVD of porn in my car.
And the screen's back here. I'm driving like that.
The screen. I had to recline to watch the screen on the back on the passenger seat. I lost track of time.
I mean, my joke was going to be like that, you know, it's, I can watch porn on my phone or I can just look around and, what you know, see what's out there. But no, I really enjoy, I don't like LA radio. I don't think there's a lot of good music stations. I like, there's some good talk radio in LA that I really like.
Yeah.
Have you ever Klein done? Klein and Alley's really good. And
have you ever done? I don't think they do Kevin and Bean anymore. I think those guys had a falling out.
But. Kevin is off with somebody else now, and I think Bean retired.
Okay, one of them was like up in Seattle. Like I did that Bean. Show one time, and they were not in the same room. And I was like, what's going on with these?
And
guys?
They tell you don't mention it. They're always like, don't mention that Bean's not here. Yeah. He was in Seattle, and then he was in New Orleans.
Hard. It's very hard when they say don't. Don't mention this. Don't talk about it. Because the whole time you're just like, I got to bring it up.
Right.
This is so weird, man. Where are you? Why, Bean, where are you? Yeah. Why aren't you in the studio? Yeah.
And they were great. I used to go on that show all the time.
Yeah.
And then they would do this great Christmas concert. It was a band. They raised money for something. But, I mean, they 1 year the lineup was like Smashing Pumpkins. And I have this guilty pleasure band that I really love called Third Eye Blind.
Oh, dude, come on.
Is that a guilty pleasure? Can that just be a pleasure?
I think that's a guilty pleasure. I don't know that you should even be saying that.
Is it that bad?
I'm not sure.
My wife was horrified.
Wait, Third Eye Blind. I might be confusing them with Three Doors Down. No.
Okay. It's not Three Doors Down.
Okay. What's Third Eye Blind? What do they sing?
No, David Lee Roth is Three Doors Down. He's in that band for you now.
He's literally three doors down from my house.
Third Eye Blind is... Now I'm blanking. It's one of those bands that I couldn't even name their songs, but when they come on, I turn it up on the radio.
You know, you mentioned Smashing Pumpkins. I recently revisited that. I was like, I wonder if this holds up. And I'm not sure it does.
Thanks for coming to Fitz Dog Radio.
Whoa, well, I'm out. Did I get canceled?
We talking about... I mean, that's...
I mean, try it out and tell me what you think.
I listen to Smashing Pumpkins albums all the time. I don't just listen to the radio.
Okay.
Well, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness is a perfect album.
That's where I went. I went to that one. I think I should have gone earlier, back to like the Siamese Dream. I went to Melancholy, and that was a very specific time in my life.
I think we were both in New York at that
time.
Yeah,
I was in New York.
It was like,
and I have
mid-90s.
Great memories of it. Yeah, so I was trying to like sort of get back into it, and I just had a hard time getting back into it.
I think it was about that time in your life. I think there's something you can't access emotionally.
My mom molested me.
Your mama molested you.
I can't make that joke.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right. I don't know. What's your theory on this about keeping up with, do you make an attempt to keep up with music anymore?
Yes.
Or do you really?
Yes. Well, when I say keep up, expand. I don't necessarily look for new stuff, but like I've expanded into country in the last 3 years.
Wow.
Flew to Nashville and saw Jason Isbell at the Ryman.
Wow.
Everybody's like, if you're going to see country music live, it has to be at the Ryman Auditorium.
Yeah, yeah.
So he does a residency. Do you know Jason Isbell?
I know who he is, yeah.
Some of these guys, I mean, Chris Stapleton, these guys shred.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're the best guitar players out there. Keith Urban, these guys are great.
Yeah.
And so I started getting into that, which I really like a lot. And then my memory is so bad.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
58. I know you're younger than me. You're only about 50,
younger.
Right?
I'm like 28. I'm practically 25.
Look down.
Oh, I got a really long beard. Yeah.
It's gray. You have a long gray beard.
I have a long gray beard.
It matches your hair.
To match my... I look like God. I'm like a cool, laid-back version of God.
You think God's not laid back? Look at all the stuff he's allowing to happen.
God might be kind of checked out at this point.
I think... God, wake up!
God's like, all right... I'm done here. I tried. Good job, Earth.
Yeah.
Well, back to the music thing, just really quickly. I find it really difficult to keep up with music. I mean, it's just, you know.
Well, my point being, I don't remember names. I'll hear something I love. I'll hear something on, you know, an alternative rock station in LA, and then I'll download the album. Download. Stream.
Adorable.
I stream it.
Adorable.
I listen to side A and then I listen to side
turn
B.
Turn it over.
And then I forget the person's name shortly after. There's a woman named Sienna Farrell.
Okay.
Who's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think she's out of Nashville. But and what's so cool about it is I started listening to her on the recommendation of my friend whose grandfather is Johnny Cash.
See, that's what you need. You need a friend in the business.
Who lives in Nashville.
Yeah, or someone adjacent that can be like, this is who you need to be listening to. That's what I don't have right now.
Yeah.
Because I have an 8-year-old daughter who's just like, you know, we're listening to all of that stuff. You know.
But here's the good news. I find Sienna Farrell, I start listening to her music, and then I notice my daughter has a post on Instagram, and she has Sienna Farrell as her background music. She did not hear it from me.
Wow.
And she found it, and she has amazing taste in music, my daughter.
How old is your daughter?
She's 6. No, 21.
That's crazy. Is she in college?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah.
She's taking some classes.
Okay.
She's not a fan.
Okay. Didn't like it. Not her ball of wax. I get it.
Well, she's got learning issues and ADHD. She's got the whole cocktail that a lot of people have now. And she just always hated class. She's like, I'm going to go to college when I know what I want to do so I know what to study.
That makes sense. That's a good plan.
Yeah, I do think my son he got a degree in communications, and it's like, you know.
What's he going to do, a fucking podcast?
What's like, he going to do, a podcast? Good luck. Right? What is he going to sit behind the board of a podcast?
What is he going to wear costumes in a green screen room? There's no future in that.
So I got to lose this. I got to lose it. I'm getting so hot.
Yeah, this is really itchy.
Well, let's get. Oh, Jesus Christ. Look at you.
Look at me. Look at me.
I watched you. I recently did Good Day LA.
I did too.
Well, that's why I bring it up, because, you know, I do research before the show, and I'm checking out some stuff you've done recently.
Yeah.
And I got to say, those women are so much fun.
Yeah.
And one of them is drop-dead gorgeous.
My wife was like, how was the show? And I was like, it was good, because my wife does the morning news for NBC.
Well, that's why I said, I watched a clip, and I was like, he's being so kind to these women. And then I'm researching more, and I was like, oh, his wife's on, does morning TV as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she's friends with a lot of them. But that is a that was a fun show, but I also found it a little challenging, because, you know, it's like they're doing like 4 hours of live television. So it's very chatty, and like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, you know, I'm looking at the teleprompter, and they were they had a story that they punted at some point, and I was like, oh, we should have done that story. It was a story about rectal exams are going to be done by robots. Like, there's a robotic finger that's going to start doing prostate checks and rectal exams and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, great. Yes, let's definitely talk about it. And they moved it off the thing. And I was like, you know,
yeah.
But I just didn't know where we were going at any time.
I went on, and then they were like, you want to stay for another segment? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
But I started off the interview with, I go, I'm really excited to be here. I go, my agent is supposed to be here. I got to keep an eye out. He's Lebanese. And I paged him before to see if he was going to make it by, and I haven't heard back from him. And like, none of them laughed except for the one super hot one. You don't even get it.
No, I do get it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And only the super hot one laughed.
Yeah.
And then she was just like, let's move on. Let's move on.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they were morning TV is a tough thing to do. You know, because like their energy, not just that show, but like in general, you know, I mean, you've done like satellite radio tours before where you go around and like, they patch you in for 10 minutes to like all these morning drive time DJs and radio shows around
the
country.
And it's usually 5 a.m. your time, because they're on the East Coast.
Yeah, you're in a hotel room somewhere and you're plugging like a movie or a TV show or whatever. And they're like, it's their energy level is off the charts.
Yeah.
And like, hey, you know, it's like, oh, the weasel and, you know, the rat are talking to Greg Fitz. Hey, welcome, Greg. And you're like, hello. You know, you're just waking up.
Their caffeine intake way up here.
Yeah. I find morning stuff like that is really
yeah, tough to do it's sometimes. It's challenging. And then especially since like I did one this morning with Philly. Luckily, these guys are not like that at all. These guys, Preston and Steve, are amazing.
Yeah.
And so, but at the same time, I still got to get up. So I had to wake up at, you know, 5:30. I think I was on at 6. And you know, so I have to, I got up a half hour before so I could pound some coffee and get going. You know, you're only on for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's 6:15, my wife's dead asleep.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, I guess if I was a mindful person, I could meditate and, you know, read a good, but I'm just like,
it's funny, man, because there's like, there's so much like media in general that so many times I'm like, how does anybody get any information about anything? Because it's so widespread. Like there's just like so much stuff. I was doing, same thing. I was doing like a bunch of interviews about this little movie that we did. And, so they had
All
like,
Happy Families.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to talk about that.
Okay. But I mean, yes, I want to talk about it too, but that's not why I mentioned it.
Okay.
But in the publicizing of that movie, you know, they set up all these like same thing, like back-to-back interviews, and I'm just in my garage on my computer doing it. But like some of like the film journalism community, I was like, what, who is the, I don't know who this person is. I've never heard of this person. I don't, like, I had one guy that was outside on his phone, because I could tell he was holding his phone. Like his screen was vertical. I'm on like Zoom. He was like holding it. It's all shaky. He's like in front of his apartment. I was like, I don't know who this guy is. Like, how did he get on the list of media hits that we're doing?
Meanwhile, he's probably got more listeners.
He's probably gigantic.
Else. Yeah.
He's probably gigantic.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing too. You just have to be like nice and cool to everybody. But
because also one of those clips, you could say something offhand on FitzDog Radio, and all of a sudden everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
And you're like, you just got Fitz-dogged.
Is that a verb? I don't want that.
TJ Miller just started saying that on the last podcast.
Oh, I don't want to get Fitz-dogged.
You don't want to get Fitz-dogged.
Who's been Fitz-dogged so far?
Just TJ Miller.
He's the only one.
Yeah, yeah. And I was thinking to talk about, there's a guy named Jay Johnston.
Yeah, I know Jay.
Okay, so Jay is going to jail now.
Yes, for a year.
For a year for raiding the Capitol, for storming.
Storming.
You never know which verb to use. Is it raiding or storming?
I think it's storming.
Yeah.
I think it's storming. Yeah, but Jay, who is super funny guy.
Super nice guy.
I mean, when I knew him, we used to do a show called Human Giant, me and Aziz and Shear.
And Bob's Burgers.
And Bob's Burgers. So I know Jay through a lot of different things. And I mean, I haven't seen him in a million years, and I think some things have happened and he kind of went off the deep end maybe. I mean, I don't know enough about it to really talk about it, but stormed the fucking Capitol.
Stormed it.
Attacked some cops, like hit some cops with some shit or something.
A shield.
Really?
Yeah, well, so I think so he was handed a shield, and then he took the shield and handed it forward and then led a push. Did a body, like, you know, the Eagles did the tush push?
Yeah.
He was doing a tush push at
on the
Capitol.
Capitol. Yeah.
And they got the first down.
They got the first down, but lost the game. He is going to prison for a year.
Mm-hmm.
A year. And I think his dad was his lawyer. I think his dad is a big lawyer.
No.
I think. I could be wrong about that. But I think his dad was. So I thought, like, well, this is like a guy who's probably going to get off. Like, you know. But also, it took them so long to. Like, that was now 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they knew who, you know, right when all that stuff happened.
He was recognized.
He
instantly.
Was recognized.
Yeah.
Everybody on the internet was like, oh, this is the herky jerky guy from.
Yeah.
You know,
Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
I actually worked with him on a show. He was a writer as well. So I wrote on it.
Super funny guy.
Super funny. Nice dude.
Nice dude.
And we wrote on a show called Cedric the Entertainer Presents.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was a writer, and Louis C.K. was a writer, and the great John Bowman, rest in peace, was the showrunner. And he didn't drink. He was one of those guys that got sober when he was like 16. He was like a real problem drinker as a kid. And then he started drinking, like, on that show when he was probably pushing 30.
Yeah.
And it was the first time he drank since then. And he drank on a Friday and didn't come in on a Monday.
No. I've heard a lot of stuff. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if I should be talking about it. But yeah, it was bad. And, like, you know, he just, so what do you do now? Like, you go to prison for a year.
How do they
year,
treat
dude?
You if you're an insurrectionist? Because if you're a pedo, there's a certain... Vertical. I know firsthand. It ain't fun.
How did that go for you?
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know if the word gets around, like, oh, that guy was a murderer, that guy was a January 6th stormer.
Oh, you don't think that inmates know what they did?
Do you? I don't know. What's the protocol? Do you mention that? Like, on day one, do you go, oh,
what's the protocol?
You know, what if you're in for some like white collar bullshit, you know, tax fraud, you know, get him.
Yeah.
You know, or do you have to be tough? You know, like I decapitated 12 dogs, you know.
I think you want to just go, I'm in here because I knowingly gave other people AIDS.
Oh.
And then it's hands off that guy.
Everybody's like, forget it.
Yeah.
Isn't the thing you're supposed to do first day of prison is like you're supposed to like find the biggest, toughest guy and like attack that guy, and then everybody's like, whoa.
Well, that's what I do with my kids every time I walk in the door.
Who's the biggest?
Who's the biggest today?
And just go after them. That's it. Yeah. Do you think you could make it in prison for a year?
I actually do a bit about this. I talk about whether or not I can make it in prison.
Really? I didn't mean to walk us into Greg's stand-up.
Let me tell you something. There's a lot there. 35 years, I got a bit for everything. And so I talk about how I think I'd make it because, like, I wouldn't be the toughest guy, but I'd be funny, and I would, like, roast the guards behind their backs, and then I would do, you know, like some maybe pithy existential observational humor in the yard. I think that would go really big. And then the biggest toughest guy would be like, hey, you're funny. You made me laugh. Okay. I never would have noticed you. Come here. Suck my dick. Okay, and I'd be like, damn it. Why do I have this gift?
This sounds more like a fantasy. This sounds like something you might like drive around and watch a DVD of and jack off to.
Or even try to get arrested and sent to jail.
Please send me in there.
Well, when we restorm the Capitol on January 6th, 2025, I'm lockstep with the rest of the cast of Bob's Burgers.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's it. That's a crazy story, man. And I don't know what happened to him. I don't know, you know, who he got hooked up with to be like, yeah, this seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to support this guy and go to the Capitol and storm it.
Well, look, you got to look at what this movement draws from. I mean, there's a lot of people in this country that are angry. Yeah. They feel displaced. They feel, it's not a new phenomena.
No, yeah. I heard someone talking about that it's like a lot of it is loneliness and like wanting to belong, which is a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, that is a real thing. But like that wanting acceptance and wanting to be associated and connected and
having a purpose.
Yeah. To be in community, you know. But yeah, that's not the club that you want to join.
Well, it's like the military in the sense that they feel
they're all from the military.
Well, they're all
they're all former military.
It's like the military in the sense that they're wearing their uniforms. Yeah,
they wear their uniforms while they storm the Capitol.
But I mean, they really feel that they are doing something that is for the good of everybody, but that only they're tough enough to do.
Right.
You know,
I agree with that.
Which, you know, good for them. Anyway, all right, let's get to the script. I don't want to keep you here all day. It's been 42 minutes. I usually do 60.
How are we doing? How are the ratings? We don't know yet.
Nothing in yet?
We don't know. Mm-hmm. Have I been Fitzdogged yet? I got to look online.
I could Fitzdog you.
Don't Fitzdog me. Do not Fitzdog me. I drove all the way. By the way, who drives across town to go to podcasts? Don't people do these in their homes now?
Is this a backhanded question?
I live very, I don't know if I mentioned this, me and David Lee Roth we were going to play pickleball today.
Oh.
And I had to say, hey, Diamond Dave, I can't do it. I got to go get Fitzdogged.
How long did it take to get here?
17 hours. No, it took 45 minutes.
Did it really?
It's okay, man. We're friends. I've known you for a long time. I'm happy to be here. And look how spooky this is. We couldn't deliver these amount of jump scares.
Yes.
If I had been at my house.
Right, right. Your house doesn't have green screen.
No, no way. I can't afford it.
Yeah. And then halfway through, hey, it's Diamond Dave. Can I get some sugar? I don't need that shit.
Panama.
That's my walk-on song in stand-up.
That's a great song.
You know why? Because you don't have to cue it up. Right out of the gate,
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Right
and
out of the gate.
People are raring to go. Yeah. Like, you put that on, people know, here comes the show.
Except then I come out. And I sometimes think, they ask you, what do you want to walk on to? And I maybe should match my opening energy with the song rather than putting it up here.
It's then you just have to like slowly ease people down. They're
yeah.
so excited. You gotta be like, well, you know, let's manage our expectations.
Yeah, maybe we go with like Cat Stevens, you know?
Yeah.
When you coming home, Dad, I don't know when.
Well, the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
Then I'm bringing him up.
That's yeah. a better strategy.
Yeah.
Is bum him out at yeah. the beginning. And then when you come out, it's like, hey, now yeah. we're going to have fun.
I did a show in Birmingham, Alabama, and I had them bring me up to the national anthem.
Great call.
They loved it.
Great
yeah.
call.
Yeah. Why not?
Do you go everywhere? Are you on the road like every weekend?
No, like every other weekend. But okay. Right now I'm on the road almost every weekend till the spring because I just had a special come out, so I'm out doing the new hour.
Yeah, that's what I'm here to promote. I'm here to promote your comedy special.
And how did you feel about it when you watched it?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm just here to talk about it and be like, you know, just kind of... what do they call it? Like when you casually mention... Like street marketing.
Street
you know?
Market yeah, it. Yeah. yeah.
I just try to like work it into conversation. What's the name of the special?
You Know Me.
Dude, that's so easy for me to work into, you know, my everyday interactions with people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know me. Which, by the way, is my friend Greg Fitzsimmons. That's the name of his new special on Netflix. What's it on?
It's on YouTube, so YouTube. Anybody can see it.
Even better. Do you own it?
I own it. I paid for it.
That's the way to do it, right?
Yep. It's the only way to do it. And like Netflix, I shot it like I hired like a really good crew.
Yeah, you have to.
And I shot it with the specs for good to be good enough to be on Netflix.
Not on a phone. You had real cameras.
I had seven cameras. I had a lighting package. I built a set.
Yeah.
And we did two shows. And then my agent goes, I finished editing. He's like, yeah, well, Netflix is booked up through the end of 2026. I'm like, well, why did I just spend all this money on this special? Because if I'm doing it just for YouTube, people are watching on their phones. I could have spent a third of the money. And so, but I'm glad I did.
Shot it here against a green screen, and it would look like you're at a haunted house.
Right.
You know?
Or I could have put a brick wall behind me on the green screen.
Yeah, and
yeah.
just stood up in your living room. But you're psyched about it. You spent a lot of money.
I'm really
on
excited.
It.
I spent a lot of money.
And when does it come out on YouTube?
It's out. It's been out for a month.
Great.
It's got almost 500,000 views already.
Dude, what are we talking about? Let's go. You're buying lunch.
All right. And no, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy a round of golf. We're going to play some golf.
I would love to.
And it's on me.
No. Okay. Are you a good golfer?
We never played together?
I don't think so.
We were at a tournament together, but we didn't play.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were at that same benefit at that really rough course.
Yeah.
I can't remember who we were benefiting, but yeah, we'll get out. We'll play with who's our foursome? Who do you play with?
Al Madrigal. I play with Al.
I play with Al. Yeah. It was his tournament. It was his benefit for his kid's school or something.
Yeah. That was right by the Rose Bowl. I live right by the Rose Bowl. And was that the one where there were like nuns there and stuff?
Yeah, there were nuns.
Yeah, I don't like to have nuns out on the holes. Like, you know, they're like every you get
You know
up
how
there,
many I like to have on the course?
How many nuns do you like to have on the golf course?
None.
Damn it. You walked me right into it. Yeah, I just found that to be like distracting. You know, you're going up to hit.
Yeah, because
and
like,
there's like a nun right there. And yeah. you're like, come on.
Yeah.
I can't swear. I can't say anything bad. I get it. You know, you're an important figure in the Catholic Church. You don't have to like sweat me on the golf course.
I think that nuns are interesting because they do all the legwork in the church. I grew up Catholic.
Okay. I'm not. Yeah.
So I watch nuns up close
okay.
a lot. And I mean,
on a DVD while you're driving,
black and white. And
yeah.
Red all over. So they do the Eucharistic stuff. They bring all the bread and the wine up.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, they stack chairs. And then okay. they're always handing out flyers.
So they're like, yeah.
They do the work. The priests are like the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
they just
show up at the end, take
right.
all the credit.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember seeing any priests at that golf tournament.
No.
Right. It was all nuns. They probably did all the work and set it up. And it was lovely. And I'm sure we made money for Al Madrigal's
private fancy school
that his kids go to. But we should play golf.
Plus, he's Latino, so his kids are probably going to school for free.
I'm not going to participate.
You almost got Fitz dogged right there.
You're trying to Fitz dog me. You're trying to Fitz. I'm not going to. You can say stuff like that, and you watch me. I've been trained. I don't fall for it.
Right.
How many people have you had Fitz dogged on the show? Like hundreds?
Well, I try to Fitz dog the people that will get me traction. Yes. On the internet. Like, I'm not going to Fitz dog Paul Scheer.
Right.
Because, like, no one's watching that.
Right.
But I get Rob Hubel on.
I mean, this guy's got some social media presence.
Yes.
You know? And I would, I would repost it. You know, if I said something terrible and racist and offensive and I got canceled, I'd at least repost it for your benefit to promote your special,
You Know Me,
dropping on YouTube.
Do you know? And I really did think about this because I said to you, half kidding, let's dress up for Halloween. And then you were sweet enough to say, all right, I'm not going to go all in, but I'll do something. And I was like, all right, good for him. So I'll do it too. And then I thought to myself, how funny would it be if you walked in and me and the producer here were in blackface and like didn't break character?
No.
And just to see if you stayed. Would you stay or would you leave?
Someone should start. I would leave. Someone should start a podcast where it's just that. It's just traps.
Yeah.
It's just laying traps and trying to get, you know, but you'd have to get big, like, A-listers. You know, you'd have to really get them. It'd be hard to get them on the show, but once they did, you know.
Well, that's why I never agree to do a podcast that's longer than an hour, because that's when you get in trouble.
You get tired.
Yeah. Your guard comes down.
Yeah, and you start saying, yeah, I agree with your dumb... Yeah, okay.
All right. Your wife's name is Holly Hanula.
Hanula. Thank you.
Does she get that a lot?
She does, yeah. Because she is half Japanese and half white guy, and so everybody thinks she's Hawaiian, so everybody says Hanula.
It does sound like a Hawaiian name.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And she did some acting as well.
Well, she's a reporter. She does the traffic in LA in the morning. She's the traffic reporter on NBC. She's like the fill-in, you know, now they call her when there's an emergency, but you know, she's not full-time. But when she does that all the, you know, she's on every morning, or when she's on in the mornings, she has to wake up at like 1 a.m. to go to work.
No.
Yeah, because the show starts at 3.
Oh my God.
So she's live, or 4. So she's live on the air at 4 a.m. till 7 a.m.
Damn.
Doing the traffic. And so she's exhausted when she gets home. I'm exhausted because I hear her clomping around.
Yeah.
Our dog is exhausted. My daughter is exhausted. We're all exhausted. But yeah, so the only benefit of having...
She's heading out and Diamond Dave's just coming home.
Dave is just coming. They pass.
Yeah.
Two ships in the night.
Yep.
But the only advantage to having your wife do the traffic report is I can call her at any time on the way here and be like, oh, there's traffic on the 10. How do I get there? And she'll go to her secret...
Shut up.
No, for real. She'll go to the map and be like, get off here. Get off, you know.
Really?
Like,
she's like your Chloe?
Yes. I don't use like Waze or anything like that.
Yeah.
I have like my own personal traffic assistant. Yeah.
Yeah. My wife actually used to do weather.
Really?
In New York. Yeah. And I never look at my app to find out like, you know, the scientific exact meteorology for the temperature.
Yeah.
I'll call her and then she'll tell me it's 82 and sunny. And that just is so much easier for me to pick up the phone and dial and get somebody.
Rather than just go.
Yeah.
And also, it's LA. It's always 82.
It's
and
always
70.
The same. You've done a lot of shows. I don't
Thank
need
you.
To sit here and name.
Thank you.
You do a lot of interviews, and you must get annoying to hear people list the same shows that you've been on.
Sure. But,
over
you know,
and over again.
Yeah. But
Best Week Ever probably doesn't come up a lot.
It doesn't.
That, which it you doesn't. And I made our bones.
You and I. That's where we. That's that. Listen, that was. I'm sure you had been doing a lot of stuff. That was like one of my very first.
Oh, it was
gigs.
One of my first things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I was just like psyched to be on TV and.
have our name up.
Yeah.
If anybody didn't see the show, it was like they would show a clip from usually kind of a pop culture clip. And then we'd be a full screen of your face with your name underneath it while you did a little dry little...
You would just comment on dumb reality shows and dating shows. And I thought that was a really good format for a show. You know? It's like it was funny. It was a weekly recap of all the bullshit on TV that you missed.
And it's funny because then there were some like copycat shows. And now you don't see that format at all. It's such a cheap format because I don't know what your contract was. I didn't have one.
I didn't have a contract.
It for 5 years.
Yeah.
And they never guaranteed me. I would just get a call like on Thursday and they'd be like, hey, you want to come in on Monday? Like it was a girl that didn't want to call me her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then you'd come in. They would fax you because there was no email then. They would fax you the topics.
Yeah.
And then you would write all the writing. Yeah. You would do all the performing.
All
you'd
jokes.
Be there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
$500.
Yeah.
No residuals.
But to me at the time, I was like, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm making money in this business somehow. And that was a lot of money.
Right.
$500. Like, I was psyched about that. But the only sort of, I'm trying to think of like, you know, Talk Soup, I would say, was related to that, you know, similar thing. Joel McHale, I think, nailed that pretty good. I think that's a great, you know, format. Also, I would say the Ridiculousness is sort of like that.
Yes.
You know?
True TV does a bunch of, like, World's Dumbest Criminals
shows. Yeah.
And, you know, look, it's fast food. It's not like anybody's going to look at that episode in 5 years because it's all... But yeah, it was fun. It was fun, you know, and it was like the kind of thing where you could maybe come up with something that for your, well, you never did stand up, but like, you know.
When you look back at that show, there are people that, you know, all of those people are still, a lot of those people are still around and doing well, you know, like.
Patton Oswalt.
Patton.
Aziz.
Michael Ian Black, Shear, Rachel Harris, like.
Lonnie Love.
I remember, Chuck Nice.
Chuck Nice.
Who was Mike Britt?
Mike Britt. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen Mike Britt a lot.
Yeah. But yeah, those were good times. I get when people bring up that credit, you know, like if you meet someone in an airport and they go, oh, best week ever.
Yeah.
Like, what do you say? I'm always like, yeah, that was like 20 years ago.
Yeah. No, I'm psyched. I'm always like, I'm always like, wow, you got a good memory. That was way back. But I feel like,
I take it as like, what else have you done, man?
Right,
like, you know,
which is
the wrong way to take it.
I see. Yeah.
You know, they're trying to be like, hey, do you remember that? Like, I like that and I know you from that. And I am offended, like, well, didn't you see the thing that I did last year?
Yeah. Right. Well, I think to me, it's more like, I see them as like the people that wear Kiss t-shirts. You're like, all right.
Don't go there, man. I'm telling you, that band holds up. No, they don't.
Both songs.
Lick it up. Lick it up. We don't have the rights to that, do we? Do we have the rights to that?
No, now we're not going to get monetized. All right, let's get straight to it. It's time to play a little thing we call Fastballs with Fitz.
Oh, don't cancel me. Okay.
All right. Who is your best Asian friend?
My wife.
That's a standard first question, by the way. And you fucking...
I nailed it. I was ready for it.
If you were to be trans, would you rather be born a woman who transitions to a man or vice versa?
Pass. I'm not getting Fitz-dogged on this show. I'm not getting Fitz-dogged.
Who would you want to give your eulogy?
Great question. Great. Oh, that's a great question. Well, first of all, I've given this some thought.
Yeah. Well, you have two brothers, so.
Yeah, but I want someone that can fucking kill it. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
I mean, for yours, same thing. Like, it can't be one person. It has to be like a bunch of people.
Okay.
Like, I'm imagining.
All right, I'm going to give you three.
Well, first of all, I've thought about this. I'm going to fake my death at least one time. And I want it to be completely realistic. So the first time, I want everyone that's listening to know, the first time you hear about me dying, I'm not actually dead.
Got it. It's a dry run.
It's a dry run because I want to go to my funeral. I want to see
yes!
it. I want to like hear it. I want to laugh and be like, yes, that it was a great story about me. Thank you for telling. You know,
see who doesn't show up.
See who doesn't show up. You know, so I'll do that. Probably pop out at the end of it and be like, fuck you, you know, and fuck Steve for not being here, you know.
Yeah.
But
by the way, are we not thinking of the greatest reality show of
next year? Why isn't this a show? I'm not really dead.
And it would be such a big show that every time somebody died, you'd be going,
they're not dead. This is for the show. This is for the show. This is for ABC.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me see. You know, I'm sure one of my like improv buddies, Shear, Riggle, Owen Burke,
Kroll
would be great. Yeah, I mean, all those guys. You know, just Cordry. You know, these are all
Cordry would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah, these are all Boston guys, by the way. So not all of them, but Cordry is.
Cordry is. So you just picked one person from Boston, so these are all Boston guys?
I'm just trying to connect with you, man.
I'm not a Boston guy.
I thought you were a Boston guy.
I started comedy. I went to college in Boston.
Okay, that's all right.
And so everybody thinks I'm from there because that's where I started doing stand-up there for like my first 4 years.
Yeah.
And
are
I'm
you a New York guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm proud to be considered a Boston comic because there's so many great comics that came from there.
Yeah. Well, also just being Irish Catholic, I just assumed.
A little caustic. Yeah. Slightly racist.
Slightly. Just slightly.
A little bit.
Charmingly.
Yeah.
Like old school. Like,
yeah. Louis had a funny bit about how I think he did it on SNL where he's like, I guess I'm a little bit racist. Like, you know, like if I see a black guy and he's in a Mercedes, I go, like that's it.
Pass. Yeah, I thought you were from Boston. That's crazy. Okay, so yeah, I would have one of my comedy friends do it. Hopefully a bunch of them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can't ever do anything on your own. It's always got to be a troop.
I'm dead, man.
It's always got to be a troop. what have you turned down recently?
Great question. Zero. Nothing. Dude, nothing. I'm telling you, it's great. I mean, it's like... You know, for people that don't know, like Hollywood is completely in, it's shrinking. It's getting like smaller and smaller. Like there's just not a lot going on. So, for young filmmakers that are indie filmmakers, everyone's available.
Here's Rob's cell phone number.
Call me on this cell phone number. I will do it.
Which
has actually been super fun. Like I've done some things that I did a horror movie this summer, which I've always kind of wanted to do. But, you know, I was like, well, is that going to be is it going to be, you know, depressing to be, so that was really fun. And, I feel like in general, people aren't turning stuff down.
No.
I feel like everyone's available.
Yeah.
I drove 45 minutes to do this podcast.
Jesus Christ.
But I'm flattered. I am hoping that changes. You know, I hope that it'll come back. But
and you'll be able to start turning things down again.
So I can turn things down.
Your mouth could. You can try to say no.
No.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
All right. Final question.
That is a great question.
That is a great question.
You might want to change the name of the podcast to What Have You Turned Down Lately?
Well, I think since the pandemic, it's going to get a little redundant.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, you've been in a lot of sketch troupes and improv troupes, all that.
Yes.
What's the hackiest bit that you've ever been involved in?
Oh, okay. Also, great question.
Thank you.
When I was first starting, there was someone in our improv group whose father did corporate training. Like, you know, you would go into a company and do like some sort of HR, you know, human resources type thing where he had kind of like bullet points and then you kind of like improvise around that as characters.
Yeah.
And I remember going to do one at the World Trade Center. Obviously, this is pre-9/11. Yeah. Should I clarify? This is pre-9/11. Going into the World Trade Center to some big finance company. I can't remember who. It's irrelevant that it was in the World Trade Center. But having to do like a sexual harassment improv bits. Yes,
no!
Yes. In the World Trade Center, like, you know, like, hey, good morning, Dave. How was your weekend? Hey, Tina, nice skirt. Whoa, freeze. Okay. What did Dave just say? He complimented her skirt. Is that cool? No, that's not cool, you know? Okay, keep going, guys. You know, and you just improvise these things of like, so Dave, did you, what's going on in your personal life? Well, you know, I just got dumped by my girlfriend. Are you interested in maybe having dinner with me, Tina? Whoa, freezing.
Yeah,
you
know,
you can't ask people out at work, you know, like.
I think Al-Qaeda got hold of the footage.
They might have.
And then took down the towers.
Yes.
That's how bad that is.
It was pretty bad.
Wow.
That was pretty, that was one of the low points.
Yeah.
But again, just starting out, I'm sure I got paid like $100, yep. $200 to go do it. I was like, I'm making money in comedy, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, today you're making zero.
What? But, they didn't tell me that.
But you get to keep the beard.
I brought the beard.
Oh, okay.
This is my beard. What was your costume, by the way?
A
Viking?
I was a MILF.
You are a MILF.
I am a MILF.
You are a MILF.
The film, All Happy Families, is streaming now everywhere.
Everywhere.
You name a streamer. Well, not YouTube.
I don't think it's on
YouTube. Harder to get on YouTube.
You know, you can buy it anywhere you buy streaming things. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Super fun little movie made with a lot of love in Chicago with a bunch of fun people. Josh Radner.
Oh, really?
How I Met Your Mother is my brother in the movie. Super funny dude. And Becky Ann Baker. Who is our mom, and the late, he just passed away, John Ashton.
Oh, I know.
What a
bummer.
Yeah, played our dad in the movie, and it's like, you know, it's like a fucked up family in Chicago all under one roof for a weekend and the gloves come off.
Yeah.
But it's super funny but also really good. But yeah, man, John Ashton is like he was fucking Taggart in Beverly Hills Cop,
right,
and Midnight
right.
Run, you know, and just great character actor. And I got to hang out with him all summer and play golf with him in Chicago.
Oh, nice.
And he was a fucking good golfer, man. Like, could barely see out of one eye and would just smoke a cigarette and like tell stories about like old school Hollywood. And I was
no
just
shit.
Like eating it up.
Yeah. Wow. That's
great
so
dude.
Cool.
Great dude.
Well, that's good that you had that with him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, Rob Hubel, thank you so much for being here again.
Thanks for not Fitzdogging me. I hope. We'll see. I got to go home and look on the internet and make sure I wasn't Fitzdogged.
You don't know if you were Fitzdogged until you've been Fitzdogged.
Oh, no.
That's the thing about it.
Oh, my God.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
It's simple math. Tim Horton's 2-3-4 menu fills your mornings without emptying your pockets. $2 gets you a hot coffee or a classic bagel. $3, try a sausage and cheese English muffin or two classic donuts. And for $4, enjoy an egg and cheese croissant or an iced cap. Do the math. It all adds up to delicious deals. Only at Tim's. The Tim's 2-3-4 menu is available until 2 p.m. at select Columbus, Ohio restaurants. Terms apply.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.